Dr. Hoffman here. This Intelligent Medicine podcast is brought to you by Super Beets. I personally take Super Beets when I need a power boost. It's my favorite product. Super Beets gives me energy and stamina for my busy day. Right now, get a one-month supply free with your first order. Check out the Dr. Hoffman special right now at IntelligentBeets.com. That's IntelligentBeets.com. Welcome to the Intelligent Medicine Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Ronald Hoffman. I think we have a very timely subject queued up for you today. It is freezing where I am. Well, you know, through the miracle of podcasting, you may be, for all I know, listening to this podcast in the midst of a hot August day. In real time, it's cold here in the Northeast, and a cold wave is about to hit. Tomorrow morning, temperatures in New York City should be 6 degrees with a wind chill below zero. And nothing could be more tempting than putting a little soup on the stove. In fact, I plan to do that a little later myself. I'm going to make some chicken soup with a special recipe. And today, we're going to talk about, no, we're not going to talk about chicken soup. We're going to talk about a phenomenon that really is sweeping the country. Even hearing about it on Dr. Oz. It's a craze. There was an article about it in the Wall Street Journal. And it's healing broths. Broths are in. And it's an old-fashioned thing, but what goes around comes around. We're going to talk to an expert. She's a co-author of a book entitled Nourishing Broth, an old-fashioned remedy for a modern world. And it's more than just a cookbook because there's a highly scientific medical rationale for using broths. So without further ado, here's our guest. She's Kayla Daniel. She is a PhD, so we'll refer to her as Dr. Daniel. She's also referred to as the naughty nutritionist because of her ability to outrageously and humorously debunk nutritional myths. She sometimes goes against the grain. She's iconoclastic and thinks out of the box. She received the Weston A. Price Foundation's Integrity in Science Award, and she's a member of their board of directors. She's also someone who is not that enthusiastic about the soy phenomenon that's sweeping the nation. She wrote a book entitled The Dark Side of America's Favorite Health Food, The Whole Soy Story. And she's appeared virtually everywhere in the media. So here she is. Dr. Daniel, it's a pleasure having you on Intelligent Medicine.
Thank you so much. It's an honor.
It's my pleasure. So frame the issue for us. You know, people have been, you know, we heard chicken soup is a panacea. It's a remedy for all things that ail you. What's the tradition in terms of broth?
Well, broth goes way, way back, actually back to the Stone Age before they didn't even have pots to cook in. But the soup back then was made in animal skins or even turtle shells, and people have been making soup ever since, pretty much part of that whole, using the whole animal, waste not, want not, and what we're now calling nose-to-tail eating. But along with the frugality of it, it's delicious. It's the secret to making great soups and stews, and it has numerous health benefits. That's one reason it's called Jewish penicillin.
Exactly. Yeah, I was raised on it, and my grandparents swore by it. So it's just, you can go to the store and you can buy bouillon cubes, or you can get, those containers like milk cartons of chicken broth, vegetable broth, beef broth. Is that what we're talking about?
Unfortunately, no. When canning and making bouillon cubes and so forth first got started in the 19th century, there was a good reason for it, and back then they were real food products. Today, unfortunately, they're barely food. They're just full of all sorts of additives, including MSG.
Yeah. So, which, by the way, sometimes not listed on the label as MSG. It's, you know, because these weasel words like natural flavorings, things like that, or yeast extract.
And That is such a good point, Ron, and it's one of the reasons that even the broths that you find in health food stores aren't quite as natural or as healthy as they might appear.
Right.
So, got to watch out for those products, and it really is to our benefit to make our own broth. And, you know, it's not that hard. It's actually a fast food in the sense that you can throw some ingredients in a crock pot, turn it on, and go off to work and forget about it and come home and there's your food already.
Well, yeah, I think that's the key is get a crock pot. They're inexpensive. That's the way I do it. I mean, and I'm nose to tail when it comes to chicken. If I make a chicken, I'll, you know, instead of throwing away the bones because, you know, I gnaw them pretty well, I just collect them and I throw them in the crock pot and turn it on, and no muss, no fuss, and, you know, I don't think there's a limit of time that you can do it. I mean, like I said, you could do it for days and days and practically dissolve into a mush.
Yeah, it's really no worries cooking, and what you just mentioned is very much how we do it in my household. I'll roast up a chicken, and it will have wonderful flavors from the herbs and whatever else I use. We enjoy a few meals from that. We take the carcass, make some soup. I will usually add chicken feet, so I'll end up with a very gelatinous broth.
Oh.
Because that's where huge health benefits come when it gets very jiggly like Jell-O in your fridge.
Well, that's interesting. That chicken feet thing, that's actually a phenomenon in certain countries. Of course, America's there's a big yuck factor when it comes to chicken feet, but in many cultures, they're chicken feet, you know, highly prized and used as a food ingredient. So what's the key to that? And you write very extensively and eloquently about the benefits of gelatin. So should we all go out and buy some Knox gelatin in a carton?
Well, if you're going to buy supermarket gelatin, Knox would actually improve your health. We'd recommend gelatin that's not coming from factory farmed animals because we want to support health and the environment, mm-hmm. too. But Knox is better than nothing.
Okay.
We recommend grass-fed gelatins. Brands like Great Lakes are my favorite Vital Protein.
So you can buy it it comes as a powder, doesn't it?
Yes.
Like flakes.
Very easy. You can stir it into foods, and if you make broth, which doesn't have a whole lot of gelatin, you can beef it up, so to speak, with some of that gelatin product.
Mm-hmm.
But rather than buying products, powders, pills,
right.
potions, my preference is for real food as the foundation.
And where do you get the chicken feet? I mean, because like I can't remember the last time that I even saw a chicken foot, except at a farm on a live chicken. So where do you ask the butcher to give you the chicken feet, or where do you get them?
Well, the interesting thing is almost all the chicken feet from chickens butchered in America are not sold in America.
Oh, not surprisingly.
Away in America.
Yeah.
They're being exported to, guess where? China.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So the Chinese value good chicken soup, and they know that the key to a good gelatin soup is the chicken
interesting.
Feet.
Interesting. Okay, so break it down for us, because the way I remember gelatin is my mom used to drink this stuff because she wanted strong nails. And apparently there's something to it because the constituents of nails, the amino acids that make up nails, are the same as the amino acids that make up chicken feet and hooves. So there's something to that, right?
There definitely is, and I bet your mom had beautiful nails. Gelatin broth are also the secrets to youthful, smooth skin, flexible skin, and can even help eliminate cellulite and prevent it from happening.
Wow.
Because cellulite is very much about collagen fibers, and
right.
We want good, strong, and flexible collagen fibers, and they hold those globs of fat in, and guess what? No cellulite.
Oh, that's interesting. So there are actually these structures that confine the adipose tissue that are made out of collagen, so you can strengthen that collagen with gelatin?
Right, and most people on the standard American diet are actually getting very little collagen in their diet. So if you're having a lot of good homemade bone broth made with soups and skin and bones, cartilage, you're going to have a whole lot of collagen in there.
Right.
And that supports your health on multiple levels. But the surprise for many people is the beauty benefit there.
Huh. Well, you could also get some of the collagen from, like, the joints. You know, you don't necessarily gnaw off the gristle at the end of a bone, but that's cartilage too, right?
Yes, it is. There's many different forms of cartilage. It's actually the most common protein in our body, and there's many different types. And strangely enough, some of the junk food eaters who eat a whole lot of, say, chicken wings, they're probably getting more collagen than people who might think they're eating more healthy foods with, say, lean steaks.
Well, let's hear it for Super Bowl food then. The playoffs are coming up, so maybe Americans will get healthier, that is, if they don't order out pizza. So what's the chemistry of that? Because you lay it out very nicely. There's three peptides which form are in gelatin that you get. You get what, proline, and what are the other ones?
Yeah, three very abundant amino acids that are conditionally essential amino acids that we need for good health are proline, glycine, and glutamine.
Okay.
And people who eat steaks and chops, like many people who, say, go on a paleo diet, are going to be coming up short in proline and glycine, mm-hmm. particularly.
Oh, that's interesting. So you're saying this is interesting because you are an advocate of a relatively high protein diet with animal protein included. But it, in fact, when people embrace that kind of diet, sometimes they just go for prime cuts of meat. They'll go for, you know, filet mignon and pork tenderloin and lamb chops. And so what you're saying is they're not getting complete protein because of that?
That's a good way to put it. Basically, nose-to-tail eating is not only a frugal way of life, but it is giving us all of the nutrition from the animal that we could benefit from. Mm-hmm. And it honors the animal by using all of it.
Right.
And when people go the route of steaks and chops, which, of course, is something you only see in a really affluent society...
Because it's so wasteful. It's truly wasteful.
It is quite wasteful. And for those of us who want all parts of the animal, for example, we can benefit in a way that we can, you know, get chicken drumsticks and chicken thighs for cheap because the breasts have been sold off at a high price.
Yep.
But many people who say they're transitioning off of a vegan or vegetarian diet, they're starting to eat meat again, or people who are really busy, these people often will gravitate to simple things like steaks and chops.
Yeah.
And some people, especially if they've been vegan or vegetarian, may have a difficult problem dealing with the bones and making bone broth.
Right. It's the yuck factor once again. They like to see it as a finished product. They don't like to see the constituent animal parts on display.
Exactly. And in terms of the yuck factor with chicken feed, it's just amazing to watch your cats and dogs go off with those well cooked, nearly dissolved chicken feet. They just love those, and their skin and fur is
just
beautiful.
We in some ways take better care of our animals than ourselves by giving them the discards that actually are so nutritious. So now the broths. I use broths a lot therapeutically in patients with digestive ailments or patients who have ulcerative colitis, Crohn's disease. They have very, very sensitive GI tracts. They're very inflamed. They react to many foods. And sometimes we start them on a very simple program of healing broth. So you've done a lot of research on that. Tell us, why would that be beneficial in healing?
Yes, a lot of us work that way. The basic philosophy, whatever is ailing you, first heal the gut. But this is particularly true for people suffering from irritable bowel or colitis. And we have many, many stories of people healing those supposedly incurable conditions just by including a lot of broth, not even, say, supplements such as collagen or cartilage. But the idea behind that is that the broth... has a way of basically nourishing the gut, healing the leaky gut, sealing things up the way they ought to be, and heal the gut, and everything else starts to follow.
Interesting. So it provides basic nourishment in a readily accessible form to the damaged cells that line the gastrointestinal tract.
Yes, we're all seeing so many people who are sensitive to this food and that food and another food. Food allergies and sensitivities are at an all-time high. And a broth can help with that greatly because soups and stews are well cooked, they're easy to digest, and then there's that healing broth in there too. It's just win-win.
So what's a basic recipe for healing broth, or is it kind of just lots of different variations? Because I've seen some recipes where they include lots of vegetables, but you know, ultimately you just cook them down with the meat or the chicken and whatever else you want to put in there, and then you actually discard the vegetables.
There's many ways you can make a healing broth. When I mention broth, I'm thinking of, you know, the basic meat tea,
right?
Without all the rest of the ingredients that you might make a soup or stew with.
Right.
So it could be chicken broth. I mean, there's a long healing tradition behind just plain chicken broth, but it can be lamb, beef, turkey, fish, venison, if you're catching wild game, many ways to make broth. Many people keep saying, well, what's the very best one? And I always say it's the one you're actually going to make and going to eat. But, you know, obviously best to include variety in the diet. Now, a basic broth you would probably make not only with the bones, and of course when I say bones, I'm including cartilage and some skin as well, and the usual traditional mirepoix, the celery, onions, and carrots.
Okay.
And, you know, for those of us thinking about colds and flu and wanting to prevent those, can add some garlic in right from the get-go.
Yep.
Many, many options for us.
Right. You know, it's interesting because often they tell you, you know, don't boil away the nutrients in your vegetables. You know, if you're going to make vegetables, you know, lightly steam the vegetables, because if you boil your vegetables, you're actually better off drinking the water than eating the vegetables. So it may be that the boiling process leaches the nutrients out, so then you drink the liquid. And for some people have problems with a lot of fiber and bulk, it may be beneficial to drink the liquid.
There'll be a lot of nutrition from the vegetables in the broth. Typically, if they've been cooked a long, long time, and say the celery and onions are really limp and, you know, they're pretty spent, you toss those. And then you'll start with some fresh vegetables that you'll cook to the right texture that you enjoy to make the final soup and stew. But you're going to get so much nutrition from the well-cooked vegetables.
Right.
And many, many people can't digest raw vegetables or nearly raw vegetables.
You don't extract the nutrients as well if they're uncooked.
I don't think so. If people can't digest them well, it doesn't matter how many nutrients are in there.
Yeah.
So in some ways, cooked foods, even if there's less nutrition after the cooking, if you digest it better, you're going to benefit more.
Right. I'd much prefer parboiled and then sautéed collard greens to just chomping through raw collard greens. That's a task. You're not going to be able to release a lot of nutrients unless you have massive molars and powerful jaw muscles and you can masticate like a cow.
I don't think most of us are too good at that.
Right. Our digestive tracts are not actually designed for that. The ruminant animals actually, you know, they spend the whole day chewing their cud. They have multiple stomachs where they store the food and then they regurgitate it and re-chew it and reprocess it. And, you know, that helps them extract the nutrients from raw things like grass.
Exactly. And I don't want to be a cow grazing all day. I'd rather be a cat who you know, can be active and rest and all of those different things on my mind and on my schedule.
Right. So okay, so that covers a basic recipe. So, you know, what are some of the other conditions that might be amenable to bone broths?
Well, many, many people enjoy bean soups, particularly in the winter. And a fail-proof way to make a delicious bean soup is to start with something like a ham hock. And that will get you lots and lots of good gelatin and collagen. And it'll give you a flavor that'll give you a great reputation as a cook.
Yeah, you got to strike up a relationship with a good butcher though, because these days everything is packaged under cellophane, and usually they don't offer that kind of stuff.
They often don't, but it's starting to change. And to my dismay, I've been noticing the stores locally where I live are now selling what we used to be able to get free for $3 a pound.
There you go. That's what happens. You've made it trendy. It was a discard before. You mentioned earlier that the soup, that I'm using some stock that is from a leftover chicken, and I'll start with there's something I'm going to do directly after this because it's a cold night here in New York and I'm kind of bored. I'm going to saute some celery and some onions and, make them nice and translucent. And then with a little garlic. And then I'll add the broth and put in, chicken chunks and let it cook for a long time so the chicken just fragments and breaks apart, and I'll take it, break it apart with a fork, and then add toward the end, squeeze in some. Well, I forgot the part where I was going to put in a little chili. I've got some tomato chunks going into it, and then at the end, towards the end, I'll throw in some cilantro for flavoring because cilantro doesn't have to cook for very long. I just put it in at the very end.
Sounds delicious.
I wish I could invite you over, but I think thousands of miles away. What we'll do at this point, this is a good inflection point because we're covering the subject of bone broths and we have some additional questions and issues about that. But you're also someone who's an advocate of the Weston A. Price approach to nutrition. So we'll talk a little bit about that and the rationale for it. And also a staunch opponent of soy nutrition. And soy is so popular these days, particularly among people on plant-based diets. It's a natural source of protein, but to you, it's something that we may not want to include in our diet to the extent that we have. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman. Our guest is Kayla Daniel. She is a PhD, Dr. Daniel, and she's also author of a new book, which is entitled... let's see, what's the exact title?
The Nourishing Broth, An Old-Fashioned Remedy for the Modern World. And my co-author is Sally Fallon Morrell.
Right, who's been a guest here on Intelligent Medicine as well. And that book is just out, right?
Late September.
Excellent. So it's available, and it's timely, and you should get it. And when we return, we'll talk a little bit more about healing through diet with Dr. Kayla Daniel. I'm Dr. Ronald Hoffman, and this is the Intelligent Medicine Podcast.